All right, let's go ahead and jump into our message. Last week, we started a brand new series entitled, And to All, a Good Fight. We talked a little bit about kind of how, in a lot of ways, we are in a battle, we are in a fight, and sometimes we don't always realize what we're fighting for and fighting with and all those sort of things. We're going to get to many of those things throughout our series as we kind of look at this idea together. Our main verse of our series is found in 1 Timothy 6. The first part of verse number 12, it says this. It says, fight the good fight for the true faith. Last week, we kind of talked about how in some ways that we can sometimes fight for the wrong things. We can fight in the wrong ways and how to do that in the correct way and how to do that in a way that is God-honoring but also understands the world we live in and that there's going to be battles and there's going to be fights and there's going to be times in our lives where we need to understand that and really make sure that we're fighting in the way that God would have us to fight and also fighting for the things that are worth fighting for. So this morning, we're going to kind of continue that, kind of look at some things, and really as I was putting the message together, I kind of began to think about what I wanted to share and things like that, and I thought I'd kind of go back into my past a little bit, which is, I know, fun for me and probably boring for you, but we're going to do it anyway, because I remember when I was a kid, I was kind of born in a time where video games were just kind of starting to be really, really fun and really, really cool, and I remember the Christmas that, like, my mom and dad got my brother and I a Nintendo. Not the fancy Super Nintendo, but the original one. And man, they got us some games, and we used to love to play that. But I remember going over to a friend's house one time, and he was so excited because he got a new Nintendo game. And I said, what game did you get? And he was, oh, it's a great game. Oh, it's so much fun. And you're going to have so much fun. We're going to play it until, you know, all this sort of things. I said, okay, what'd you get? He goes, I got Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. Now, some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. Like zero. Others of you are like thinking like you're getting like warm fuzzies all over thinking about playing this game as you were growing up. And it was a game where it was a boxing game, obviously. It was when Mike Tyson was kind of in his prime where everybody was talking about him and all these sort of things. And you got to play as a little boxer that you would go and you had to fight through the ranks and all this sort of stuff. And then eventually, if you did it, you kind of finally got to fight Mike Tyson. Well, you know, this was a big deal. And so I remember the learning how to play this game. And the first guy that you fought was literally a guy named Glass Joe. Glass Joe was the first guy. And so there's a picture up there. There's Glass Joe, and you got to play as Little Mac, which is the guy in the green shorts. And if you don't know how this would work, it was basically kind of a game where you had to learn kind of patterns and timing and all this sort of stuff. So Glass Joe would swing at you, and you'd duck, and then you'd hit him and all this sort of stuff. And here's what was funny about Glass Joe. You know, like, he literally was the worst fighter in the game. Even if you were horrible at the game, you could usually beat Glass Joe. And in fact, if you actually, as a kid at this time, if you actually got hit by Glass Joe, that was kind of like a badge of shame. Because he was so bad. And usually you could beat Glass Joe with not even getting hit. Like I said, if you got hit, you probably did something wrong. And so even if you did get hit, you'd maybe get a little bit of a, you had a health meter basically. If your health meter goes all the way down, you'd fall down, that sort of thing. And we would do that. So as you beat Glass Joe, you would go to the next guy, and you go to the next guy, and you go to the next guy. And as you got up in rank, the guy got a little harder. He hit a little harder. He had all these sort of things that became more and more difficult. He kind of disguised his punches a little bit more. And if you worked hard enough and you practiced hard enough, or more likely, you found the secret code that basically took you immediately from the start screen to Mike Tyson, you would get to fight Mike Tyson. And this is what that looked like. So there he is. Oh, yeah. Back in his 8-bit glory, you know. There he is. And so you're getting ready to go fight him. Now, here's the thing about Mike Tyson you have to learn. And it was a horrible moment when you realized this. Now, I could be wrong here. You know, how time kind of makes you forget things as you get older. But the bottom line is this. If you got hit by Mike Tyson, even if you basically had a pretty much full health bar, you got hit, you went down. He was that big and that strong. You had to dodge. You had to move. You had to do all these things. And if you got hit once, you were going down. There was a big, big, big difference between fighting Glass Joe and fighting Mike Tyson. But here's what I learned as you went through these fighters to even get there. If you were going to survive in this game, because no matter how hard you tried, things were going to happen that you weren't going to expect. You were going to get hit. And when you got hit, everything changed. Because I remember not ever actually getting to Mike Tyson, but once again, finding maybe a Nintendo Power magazine, the code that you put in at the start screen to get there. I mean, I was like, oh, I'm going to beat him. I'm going to beat him down. I walk up there, Mike Tyson goes, boom, and I go, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's funny about that is in real life, there was a story that I looked up, and it's funny how quotes kind of change over time. But Mike Tyson, the real guy, not the fake guy, was interviewed, I believe, in like 1987, 1988. And they were talking about a fight that he was ready to fight. And they were talking about this guy that was getting ready to fight him. And he said, oh, I got this plan. I got a plan to beat Mike Tyson. And basically, Mike Tyson responded with a quote. It's changed a little bit over the years, but this is what it is. It says, everyone has a plan till they get punched in the mouth. Everybody has a plan till they get punched in the mouth. And here's what I've found in life and in our Christian walk a lot of times. Like, we have sometimes, we can be sometimes really big talkers. We say, man, I want to get into that fight. I want to fight for the right things. I want to fight the good fight for the true faith, all these things. And man, we get in there. And here's the deal. When Glass Joe is fighting us, man, we'll stand up strong. When Glass Joe is there and maybe we get a little tap or whatever, we're like, ha, 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 that's nothing. And we go after him and we knock him down. And we sit there after you knock him down. Big little Matt comes out and kind of raises his arms like, yeah. But what happens when something so big and so painful hits you in the mouth? Then what are you going to do? You see, life at times is filled with those types of moments. I have actually known people in my life, unfortunately, that have been great fighters, that had a plan until they really got punched in the mouth. And when they did, the pain and the hurt and the disappointment and the anger and the bitterness kept them down for literally the rest of their lives. You see, for some of us, we have a problem with pain. We have a problem of pain. And we don't always know how to deal with it. We don't always know what to do. This morning, what I really want to help us to do in some ways is while we're in those fights and we experience them and we experience the pain that comes along with them, that we'll learn how to deal with those moments. Yeah, you may get knocked down. You may have a Mike Tyson punch that just KOs you for a moment. But what I want us to understand, what we need to understand in some ways, is how to deal with that pain, how to get up from that pain, how to let God bring healing into our lives from that pain. Because here's the deal. Here's the thing you and I need to understand. We're in the ring and we're not alone. And we have an enemy who is strong that wants to bring us down. How do we handle it? How do we deal with those moments? How do we handle the problem of pain? Let's pray. Father, we love you and we do thank you. And God, obviously this morning we start with a funny story and kind of a funny memory. But God, here's the deal. For a lot of people, pain and the memory of that pain is very, very difficult. It's not funny at all. It's not fun at all. And God, in our lives, we will experience suffering and hurt and pain. You were very clear on that. And so, Father, we need to learn from your word how to stand up to that punch, how to come back stronger. And I pray that you would help us this morning to learn that from you. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. The problem of pain is clearly pretty simple, really. It's painful. You know, that sounds simple. It sounds easy, but when we're in pain, it literally can change everything. It can change our mood. It can change our mindset. It can change how we think about things. Let me give you a weird, simple example that all of us have experienced. Have you ever stubbed your toe? Like, not like boink, but like really stubbed your toe. And it's funny because no matter what is happening in your life in that moment, all of a sudden, at least for a certain amount of time, everything focuses in on one of the smallest parts of your body. You could have something really great just happen to you, and you stub your toe, and you'll forget about the great thing and immediately focus in on the pain and focus in on the toe. And the thing is, we need to understand something. You see, we are called to be Christ's followers. We're called to be his disciples. We're called to walk in the way that Jesus walked. I mean, how many times have you heard the idea, what would Jesus do? Or I want to be like Jesus. Or I want to experience the things Jesus experienced. I want to become more and more and more and more like him. The problem that you sometimes can forget, the problem sometimes I can forget, is Jesus lived sometimes a life of pain. And I'm not just talking about the obvious. I'm not just talking about the physical pain on the cross. But the emotional pain that he must have experienced, the hurt and the betrayal, the times where he would look at people that he loved dearly, and yet they rejected him. We have stories where he's rejected by his own family, people that knew him well, people he grew up with. The story of Jesus going back to his hometown, and basically they thought he was nuts. Read the stories. The rejection of the religious leaders, the rejection of his own disciples. He dealt with pain. He dealt with hurt. He dealt with moments where he was hit, and he was hit hard. And the bottom line is this, and we need to get this, because sometimes I think we live kind of in a fantasy world when it comes to pain as Christians. If we're going to follow and be like Jesus, we're going to need to know how to handle some pain. We're going to need to understand how to deal with some of this stuff, because Jesus dealt with it, and he dealt with it a lot. How? How? How do we handle this? How do we get that strike that the enemy sometimes will hit us with, and instead of going down and going into a heap and then going into the corner and hiding, we just come back and say, you know what? You know what? I can deal with some pain. I can deal with some pain. And because of that, we're going to need to kind of reframe the pain in our lives. We're going to need to look at it a little bit different. Paul understood this. Look what he says in Philippians 3. In Philippians 3, 10 through 11, this is what Paul says. He says, I want to know Christ. Now, here's the deal. Isn't that a beautiful verse if it just stopped there? Because Paul is not just talking about kind of a small knowing. He's talking about an encompassing knowing. That's what that word really means. It's more than just I kind of know him, but a deepness and an intimacy is what that word is really kind of trying to convey in the original Greek. And so Paul's saying, I want to know him. And it'd be awesome if the period hit, but it doesn't. He continues and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. All right, sounds good. All right, we're still doing okay. Can't we just stop here? But then he continues, I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Now, this is a very important verse that we understand, okay? Because a lot of us, we'll read the first part of that. I want to know Christ. I want to know him. I want to experience the power that comes from knowing him. But Paul doesn't stop there. He continues and he says, I want to suffer with him. Now, I want to be honest, and I'll be honest because I'm up here, okay? I don't think I've ever had a moment where I've gone like, yes, can I please suffer? Have you? I mean, maybe you're super spiritual, but I'm like, you know, I don't like pain. Pain's not fun. Suffering's not good. Like, I don't want to hurt. I don't want to go through difficult moments. But Paul here, he's going, no, listen, this is important. I want to suffer with him. And he doesn't just say, I want to suffer, but he continues to help us understand why that suffering needs to be reframed, and it was for him, it also needs to be for us. Because he says, I want to experience that suffering, I want to share in his death, so that one way or another, I can experience the resurrection from the dead. You see, what Paul is saying here is this. You cannot have a testimony without a test. You can't have a resurrection without suffering and death. And Paul is sitting there saying, listen, the suffering and the hurting that comes from following Jesus is worth it because of the resurrection that I get because of it. He's basically saying in some ways, he's like, the pain is okay because the process that the pain brings about is a resurrection and a life that I would never have had without the death. And some of us get so focused on the pain, we get so focused on the hurt, we get so focused on the disappointment that we forget that pain in a lot of ways actually brings great things in our hearts and in our lives. As crazy as this statement is to say, this is kind of one of those hard moments where we're going to have the Holy Spirit help us understand this and really let it affect our heart and our lives. But there is blessing in pain. And that's so counterintuitive in our world today. We do everything we can to avoid pain. And yet, Paul is welcoming it because he wants to experience something that comes from it. He was able to refocus and re-understand pain. And listen, here's the deal. And we could get there. We're not going to today, but just trust me on this. Paul suffered a lot. Paul suffered. I know that I don't know everything that's going on in your life, but I'm just going to be honest with you. Paul suffered more than you did and have. And yet Paul understood and was able to understand pain in a different way. Let's see, it's very easy to focus on the pain. It's very easy to focus in on who brought the pain and not focus on what the pain can actually do for you in your life. It's so easy. It's so easy. And so what does that mean? How do we do this? How do we come and reframe this idea of pain in our lives? Because here's the deal. I'm not saying it's going to be fun, and I'm not saying it's going to be easy. But as we're going to see in a moment, it can literally change so many areas of our lives. So even though we have a problem with pain, we also need to embrace the pain. Embracing the pain. As hard as it is, we are called in some instances to do this. Look what James says in James chapter 1. Listen to what he communicates here very early in his book to us. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." I want to focus real close on verse number 2 here. Okay, so James here is writing. He's just begun his book. James doesn't waste a lot of time with greetings and salutations. I mean, he's just like, here we go. And he just starts, he says, listen, brothers and sisters. He says, people that know Jesus, people that are experiencing the love and the grace of him. Listen, when troubles of any kind, when pain, when hurt, when disappointment, when anger, when bitterness, when these things come, he doesn't say if they come. He says when they come. We'll all experience them. We'll all deal with these things. He says, when they come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. You see, you need to understand something. When pain comes, you have an opportunity to actually allow that pain to do some great work in your life. But it doesn't have to. It's up to you. You have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to embrace that pain. Not going, oh, I'm so glad this is happening, not in a fake, phony way, but in a way that says, you know what, God, even though this hurts, even though this is difficult, I'm going to let this be an opportunity to bring great joy in my life because of how Jesus takes that pain and uses that pain. You've heard me say it, many people have, there is always purpose behind the pain. The question becomes, will you use it as an opportunity to let joy overtake the pain? Will you let the joy that we have to know Jesus and what he has done in our hearts to be greater than the pain that we may temporarily suffer in this life? But here's the deal. We miss that opportunity because instead of embracing the pain, we run away from it. We're so pain avoidant in our world that we go, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to deal with pain. So instead of dealing with the conversation and the person that we need to have a conversation with because it's going to get difficult and because it's going to bring up some hurt and bring up some pain, we don't deal with it. We dig a hole, we bury it, we put a carpet over it, and we pretend that it's not there. We run away from the hurt. We run away from the pain. And when we do that, listen, we miss our opportunity for great joy. You see, some of us, listen, some of us have a great amount of pain in our life. And for those people that do, we have a great opportunity for greater joy in our lives too. I know it sounds kind of crazy. It's kind of one of those things that almost the scriptures say that, what do you mean? I got to die to live. To be first, I got to be last. Well, listen, sometimes to have great joy, you have to experience great pain. I've used this before. I've talked about it before because it's just a word in a song that's never left my heart. I don't know if you ever had this happen, but it was when I was a kid. And it was in a song, and basically the verse said, no one is more grateful to sit at the table than the one who most remembers hunger's pain. There is no one more joyful than the one who has experienced great pain. And it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to allow God to do something that only He can do. But here's the deal. If we run away from it, if we try to keep away from those things, listen, we're going to miss that opportunity. And listen, we need to use discernment. We need to use wisdom on when to deal with these things and how to deal with these things. But listen, what we never see is this idea that we just bury it in the ground and pretend it's not there. Because here's what I've learned about things. You dig a hole and put in the ground, they grow. And sometimes it's amazing when we don't deal with the hurt, when we don't deal with the pain. And so what we do is we dig a hole, we put it in, we cover it over, and then we come back in 6 months or a year, and somehow it's grown to more than just the pain. Now it's grown into anger and bitterness and so many other destructive things in our life that we could have avoided if we had just been willing to deal with it and embrace it. Romans 5:3-5 continues this idea and this theme. It says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems. I love that. I love that. When we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confidence, confident hope of salvation. And so this hope will not lead us to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. I love that concept of basically running into problems. Not running away from them, but sometimes literally running into them to deal with them and to take them as an opportunity. Because here's the deal. In a lot of ways, in James, as he wrote to us, and also Paul, as he wrote to the Romans and us, we see this idea that troubles are going to happen. Trials are going to happen. Pain is going to come. But here it is. It's an opportunity. And when we run into it, things can grow in our lives that are amazing, wonderful things. The bottom line is this. Pain can be your greatest teacher if you will embrace being its student. And I know what I'm asking, and I know what Scripture is asking here is not easy. You probably will not be able to do this on your own. You're going to need the Holy Spirit's help. But He's here to help us. Because none of us are sitting here going, oh, I really hope today I have some pain in my life. But when it comes, when it happens, we can be a people that don't run from it. We don't give up, and we fight through it. When that hit comes and that moment comes where, you know, we're just dazed and we're stumbling back and our natural inclination is just to turn and run, we can say, no, there is something. There's an opportunity here for growth. There's an opportunity here for joy. There's an opportunity for God to do something that only He can do in my life. So when those hits come, because they're going to come, we have to look at this together. How can we not give up and keep fighting through the pain? So as we kind of bring this all to a close, we're going to kind of look at some areas of our lives that I believe that are very typically fighting types of situations and things that we just need to keep fighting through when that hit comes. And we're going to actually be in Ephesians chapter 4. We're not going to be in all of it, but we'll be there as we look at these things together. We'll kind of jump around just a little bit. But Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, starts out chapter 4 by saying this, and I thought it was a good way to start this section of the message. He says this, therefore, I, a prisoner, so again, isn't that interesting? Paul's already kind of going, yeah, I'm suffering here. I'm hurting here. I'm in some pain here. He said, as a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. And listen, as we start this section, we may be going to a little bit of another boxing term, I guess. The Holy Spirit may come and hit some areas that you feel are a little bit below the belt. But I'm begging you. I'm begging you to live a life worthy of your calling, for you're called. I'm begging you to look at these areas and fight through the pain so that you can experience what God really has for you in those moments, and you'll use these opportunities for some amazing things in your life. So let's jump in here. Number one, keep fighting for your group through the pain. Keep fighting for your group through the pain. Look at Ephesians 4:3. Ephesians 4:3 says this, make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Listen, when we go through pain and we go through hurt, we typically focus in on a couple things. One is the pain itself, and two is usually the individual that brought the pain about. We'll like to sit there and kind of go, well, you know, they did it. They're the problem. I didn't do anything wrong, or maybe they're the issue or whatever. And we'll focus so much on that, and we'll allow that to divide us in so many ways. I've seen it divide churches. I've seen it divide parents and kids. I've seen it divide spouses. I've seen it divide friends. I've seen it divide over and over and over and over again. And here's the thing. When the pain hits, when the hit comes, sometimes it comes from those that are really, really close to you. The people that you thought would never do that. And what we see here is this idea of, listen, when that pain hits, when that situation comes, don't allow that pain to divide you. Instead, let it become an opportunity to express grace and forgiveness. And you know, I've seen over and over and over again is when people do that and they refuse to be broken, they refuse to be divided, that they become stronger as a result. Again, it's an opportunity, because here's the thing. The enemy will try and bait you into fighting with people that you were called to fight for. He'll try to bait you in that. And the people that we really should be fighting for, he tricks us into fighting against because of what they've done or what they said or how this was handled or what wasn't said or wasn't done. Listen, to keep fighting means sometimes to say, you know what, even though this hurts, even though this is someone close to me, even though I don't understand why they did this, I'm not gonna let this destroy us. How many marriages, how many families, how many churches have broken and been destroyed because there was hurt that wasn't dealt with in a biblical way? And instead of allowing that to bring us closer and make us stronger, that basically the enemy tricked us into basically saying, you know what, they don't deserve our love. They don't deserve unity with me. I'll never forgive. I'll never forget. And we let it destroy us. How many marriages, how many churches, how many friends? Stay unified. Keep fighting for them. And keep fighting for those relationships. Number two, keep fighting for your gift through the pain. Keep fighting for your gift through the pain. Ephesians 4:7, it says this, however, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. We've talked about this before. We've had messages on our gifts and our giftings, but every single one of you have been given a gift. And here's the thing. I kind of hate to tell you this, but I've seen it over and over and over again. You know where you usually will have some pain? You know usually where the enemy is going to hit you hard? Is in your giftings. It's in your giftings. The things that you thought you were strong in, the things that you thought you were cool in, that you got it and all those things, man, it's amazing sometimes how the enemy will come and he'll just hit those things and all of a sudden, man, you will stumble back. I've told you this before and I'm not saying this to look down on anyone. I'm not saying it to build myself up. I'm just giving you the facts. I went to school with a lot of guys. A lot of people that were in school to train for ministry that aren't in ministry today. Why? Were they not called? Did they not have a gifting in this? Man, some of those guys, but I looked at them and I go, my goodness, man, they got gifts coming out of their ears. Why aren't they doing it now? And I know I'm painting with a very broad brush here, and there's different individuals in different situations, so please understand that. I'm not knocking anybody. But sometimes I wonder if they just got hit too hard in their giftings. Let me give you an example. Now, maybe you would say this, would not agree with me on this, I don't know. But hopefully, one of my giftings would be communication. Hopefully, it would be that I can kind of put one of these things together and express it, so at least when you walk out of here, there's at least one thing that you go, oh, okay, I got that. If I get two, man, that was a great Sunday. But hopefully that's kind of one of my things. You know, and because of that, I have to use something that can sometimes really get me in trouble. Words. I have to use words. And here's the deal. Like, when I started this whole ministry thing 20-some years ago, I mean, it was kind of nice. You know, I had my youth group, and we were down, you know, we were talking. And here's the deal, man. We had maybe, I don't know how many kids, it doesn't matter. But we had some kids, and they would sit there. And if I said something dumb, they would remember. But that was it. And they would say, hey, Pastor Aaron, I remember when you said this, and you meant this, or you said the wrong word. Ah, that was so funny. Now when I say it, it's on the internet. It's for everybody to see. And I've been attacked so many times in my ministry for the words that I've said. Maybe I didn't say them quite right. Maybe I didn't say it with the right understanding of where someone was, or maybe I didn't say them in the correct way. And I'll be honest with you, in a lot of ways, the ways I've been attacked the most as a pastor is in my words. You see, here's the thing. Your gift will be your greatest tool for victory, but it will also be your greatest tool for pain. Some of you have so many giftings, and you will not operate in the giftings that you have because someone did something to hurt you in them. And so you've basically said, you know what, I'm going to put that gift aside. I'm not going to operate in it because of the hurt and because of the pain that came with it. And for some of us, we need to understand we have been called, we have a gift, and even though sometimes that gift will cause us pain, it will also cause victory to happen in our lives and others. So I want to encourage you this morning, keep fighting for your gift. Keep fighting for that thing that God has placed in your heart to minister to people and to allow it to be used by God to make an impact in your life and the life of people around you. But know this, it's going to cause you some pain. Paul wasn't in prison because he was a good Roman citizen and a good quiet Jew. Got it? He was in prison because he was willing to operate in the giftings that he had. Every disciple that was killed, and even John who went through things, man, was killed for the gifts that they were willing to express and share. One of the greatest sermons, I think, in all of Scripture is Stephen's. And he operates in this unbelievable power of the Holy Spirit and this gift, preaching a message that, man, I'd give my right arm to be able to preach. And the result of it is rocks thrown at his head till he was dead. Some of us need to understand this and say, you know what? No matter the pain that comes from the gift is greater than the pain, and I will fight through that. Number three and the last one, keep fighting for your growth through the pain. Look at Ephesians 4, 14 through 15. It says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies. So clever. They sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Now, here's the deal. We kind of talked about it a little bit earlier. This is maybe more of the obvious one, but it's still so important to us. God wants to use the pain to help us to grow. We saw that in James. We saw that in Romans. We could have seen it in other scriptures where basically God says, you know what? Yeah, there's going to be struggle. Yeah, there's going to be hurt. Yeah, there's going to be pain. But you know what? It's an opportunity for you to grow. It's an opportunity for you to experience more and more and more. I'm not much of a weightlifter, never have, never will be, but I understand one thing, and that is this: to get your muscles bigger, you got to have some tension. You got to have some stretch. You got to lift heavy things. Listen, the reason I am in the shape that I am in physically with my muscles is simple. I don't like to pick up heavy things. If it's too heavy, I go, where's the dolly? Others of you, I look at you and I go, they have picked up heavier things than I have and done it more recently and more often. What have they been doing? They've been experiencing pain and stretching and tension to bring forth growth. And that's obviously a physical illustration, but in the same vein, spiritually, sometimes God will use pain and he'll use moments to help us to grow. Again, it's an opportunity to build endurance. It's an opportunity to build character. It's an opportunity to allow these things in your life to happen. I've heard it, you've heard it, we've heard it all the time. No pain, no gain. And it's true. It's not just true physically, it's true spiritually. And here's the deal. If you say no to the pain in your life, you're also saying no to the gains in your life. If you think the pain is so great that you're just going to go and you're going to go hide in the corner and you're not going to deal with people, you're not going to deal with churches, you're not going to deal with pastors, you're not going to deal with other people and other situations and circumstances, you know what? Yeah, you may not have a lot of pain in your life, but you're not going to grow either very much. And for some of us, because of the hurt, because of the pain, because of those things, we have stagnated in our growth because we've basically decided the pain was too great. I know that because I know I've done it. I know I've experienced that. When I was in college, and I'm not going to get into the details, but it's hard to talk about. You know, you always hear about this idea of when you're in high school and college, and it's, you know, you'll never have those years back, you know. It's really exciting, you know. And I remember I was in college, and long story short, I was in a relationship with a young lady, and things just didn't go well. I know I did some things I shouldn't have done. She did some things that she shouldn't have done, and just because of that, my entire junior year of college was just, I'm just going to be honest, it was just a year-long pity party. I was hurting. I literally had people come up to me, and of course, I had been there for a couple years, you know, so it was my junior year, so I had people that had known me the years before, and I had literally people walking up to me going, are you okay? Like, what's wrong with you? I had people that nicknamed me, they called me Bitter Boy. They called me Bitter Boy. And you know what? When they did, I gave them every reason why that name was correct. I remember I wouldn't eat in the cafeteria. I would literally go in, I would get my food, and I would go back to my dorm because I just didn't want to be around people. I didn't want to deal with people. I was just hurting. And it seemed like when things maybe would get a little bit better, it was just like another slap in the face, another hurt, another misunderstanding. And it was just, it was relational issues. It was spiritual issues. It was literally like feeling like Mike Tyson was just every day just hitting me in the face over and over and over again. And I kind of just shut down. And I just kind of went into the corner and I said, you know what? I don't want to deal with this anymore. I don't want to deal with this hurt. I don't want to deal with this pain. You know what? I'll finish this year out and then I'll go do something else. And I remember being so disappointed. And it's crazy because I was, you know, I was going to finish up my junior year. I had 1 year left. And I was literally like, I don't care what I do with my life, but it's not ministry. If this is what ministry is going to be like, if this is what Christians are going to act like, I'm done. I'll go dig a ditch. I'll do something else. I don't care. And I was so hurting. I was so broken. I was so ready just to really throw in the towel and quit. And in a long story short, there was a guy that showed up. We had to do an internship at the end of our junior year going into our senior year. And when I was just about ready to give up, this guy shows up that I actually knew from youth camp where I grew up. And he was actually had been there for years. And he was actually a youth pastor in Memphis, Tennessee. And when I was about ready to give up, he came and he was looking for a summer intern. And through a situation of circumstances, basically, he and I reconnected. And he said, man, I'd really like you to come for the summer. And you know, you got to do your internship anyway. I'd love for you to come and do that with me. And I was so close. And I'm telling you right now, if I had said no, you never would have known who I was. I promise. That's where I was at. That was the hurt that was in my life. But for some reason, maybe because I was crazy, maybe because I just didn't what I knew what I was going to do that summer and they were going to pay me a little bit, I said, okay, I'll come be your intern. I'll come to Memphis, Tennessee and do that. And over those 3.5 months while I was in Memphis, God began to change my heart and work on my life. Sometimes, you know, it's tough because sometimes we're just in it so hard and so deep. And I think for me, part of it was just getting out of Springfield, getting out of the college world. I met some just amazing people that loved me in ways that were just unreal. I mean, that literally kind of took me in as their son. I mean, not like, oh, he's our intern, we have to be nice to him, but like literally took me into their home and were like, listen, I don't care who your parents are, but for the next 2 months, we're them. And loved me as a son. And helped me. And God changed me. And God worked in my heart and my life so that when I went back to school, literally, people were blown away. They were like, what happened to you? I hadn't been there more than a week, and we went out to a coffee house, which was something I hadn't done in a long time, and I literally had a friend looked at me among all this group of people that had put up with my nonsense for a year. And he looked at me, and he said, Aaron, I just want to say this. It's so good to have you back. I wasted a year of my life because I thought the pain was too great. I refused to use it as an opportunity to grow. And here's the crazy thing. I am who I am today because of that year, because of the growth that God brought forth in my life. Because I was willing to say, you know what? God, I'll trust your pain to bring forth growth, to bring forth victory, to bring forth unity. I'll trust you that you know what you're doing even in the midst of my pain. Was it easy? No. Was it fun? No. But it changed my life. And I want it to change yours. That's why I beg you, as Paul does, to not quit, to not give up, to know that punches have come and they will come, and they're going to be large. They're going to be painful. But I want to encourage you to fight through those hurts, fight through those pains. Let God do what only God can do in your hurt and in your pain and in your disappointment and in your anger. Listen, maybe you're like me. Maybe you have a nickname too. Nobody will call it to your face. I was so bad they didn't care anymore. Maybe you're bitter boy. Maybe you're bitter girl. Maybe you're angry. Maybe you're disappointed. Maybe you're just hurting inside. And here's the thing. Some of us have run from that pain and we've run away from the God who can heal our pain. And instead, I'm inviting you, and He, more importantly, is inviting you to bring that hurt, to bring that pain to Him, and allow Him to do what only He can do. And what you'll see is your gifting will grow, your unity with others will grow in your relationships, in your family, and in your church, and in your marriage. And not only that, you'll grow exponentially in Him. Because when we have hurt and we have pain, there is always a perfect plan behind it. It's an opportunity. Will we take it? But here's the deal. I want to encourage you again with this, that no matter what the pain is, no matter what the hurt, no matter how strong the punch was, we can overcome it because Jesus has overcome it. Look at Romans 8:11. This is what it says. It says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. It lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Here's the crazy little thing that we sometimes forget. Let's go back. I know we talked about it a little while ago. Let's go back to Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. Remember that? I don't know if you caught it, but the main character is a little guy, and his name is Little Mac. And what's funny about Little Mac is, and maybe it's just the way they designed the game or whatever, Little Mac literally is little. Like, even Glass Joe is bigger than Little Mac. Mike Tyson is definitely bigger than Little Mac. And here's the mistake that some of us have made when we deal with pain and hurt and all these sort of things. We feel like Little Mac. We feel like we're so small, we're so insignificant, we're so weak. How in the world can we take down that hurt, that situation, that pain? And we have forgotten who we are. We have forgotten that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. We have forgotten that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. You see, as strange as it is, when we understand who we are, who Scripture has communicated that we are, when we understand that we are a child of God, and with that come the authority and the privileges of son and daughtership, and we understand that even in our greatest weakness, He is strong. We need to understand you're not little Aaron. You're not little Karen. You're not little Paul. You're not little anybody. You are greater than you believed you are, not because of your strength, but because of His strength that lives in you. And if that power is there, that raised Christ from the dead, it can also handle any swing of the enemy, no matter how big and strong he throws at us, if we will just allow that Spirit of God to fight those battles for us. Let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. Let's kind of close. Look, anytime I share a message like this, it's really easy for people that are hurting to kind of give me one of these, or kind of, not give me one of these, but think in their mind, but Aaron, you don't know my pain. You don't know how much I'm hurting. And you're right, I don't. But here's the thing that I think I understand. No matter what your pain is, no matter how great it is. You see, when I read that scripture in Romans 8, you know what I think? I think that if God's Spirit was so strong that it could bring a dead person back to life again, it's great enough to handle any pain that my world brings to me. It's greater. And so I don't say that to belittle your pain, because for some of us, there's great pain. I tell you that to encourage you that there's nothing, there's no punch of the enemy that is so great that God can't bring purpose and growth and healing and unity from it. Nothing. The question becomes, what are you going to do? You see, Mike Tyson's quote is interesting, because he says specifically to a person he's getting ready to fight, he says, everybody's got a plan till they get punched in the mouth. Everybody thinks they know what they're going to do until the bullets start to fly. You know what I mean? And I know in my life, physically and things like that, you know, somebody walks up and punches me in the mouth, I'm probably not going to know what to do. I may even think in my head, this is what I'll do, but I don't know. But here's the deal. Spiritually speaking, you need to understand a couple things. Number one, you're going to get punched in the face. Spiritually speaking. You're going to deal with hurt, you're going to deal with pain, you're going to deal with bitterness, you're going to deal with all the things that come along with those things, disappointment, disillusionment, you're going to deal with pain. And here's the great thing that hopefully you've understood from what we've shared this morning. The plan that you can have in Christ Jesus is greater than the pain of the hit that the enemy may bring against you. So when the enemy comes and says, man, you can have a plan till you get hit in the face, you can say, yeah, but see, my plan is Jesus. My plan is an opportunity. My plan is to allow growth to be a part of it. So you know what, enemy? Yeah, I know there's going to be hits and they're going to hurt. But you see, I believe that when God said in His Word that He'll take all things and use them for good, that I was included in that. So even though I'm not looking forward to the pain, even though it's not fun to have the pain, I'm going to take my opportunity, enemy. So you swing, but just know I'm coming back up. And when I do, with the help of the Lord and His strength, I'll come back better, and I'll come back growing more, and I'll come back stronger, and I'm not going to allow the hits that you might bring to keep me from my victory. I'll suffer with Jesus. I'll die for Him so that I can experience the resurrection. So you bring your test, enemy. All you're going to do is give me a testimony. You bring it. Because all you'll do is show me and everyone around me how big and how strong my God really is. I mean, here's the deal, folks. Sometimes the greatest pains that we experience when we give them to the Father turn out to be our greatest triumphs. The things that we share with other people, our testimonies that we share, the way we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And for some of us, the pain has become so great that we've run away and we've kind of hid. Instead of running into it, we've run away from it. And I just want to encourage you this morning to run into Him. It doesn't matter how big the pain is or how small. Run into Him. Let your plan be Jesus. And then let Him, as you yield to His Holy Spirit, let that change you from the inside out. If you want that, maybe you're experiencing pain right now, maybe you're not. But whether you are in this moment or not, you will. And when you do, I want to react in a way that says, you know what? Yeah, this hurts. But it's an opportunity for so many things. And God, with your help, I will take this opportunity to the fullest. Have I always done that? Absolutely not. Do I need to do better in this? You better believe it. But when we can reframe pain, it can literally change our lives. So if that's you and that's what you want, again, maybe you are dealing with pain right now and this is very personal and the prayer that you're going to pray here is going to be very specific in a moment, in a time, in a situation with a person, and that's great. If you're not, it's still a good idea to get prepared because it's coming. And we want to be ready. So no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through this morning, let's all just go to the Lord. And let's just let our plan be Him. Whether we're getting punched in the mouth or not, let it be Jesus. All right? Pray with me. Father, we love You and we do thank You. And God, I'm thankful that You didn't sugarcoat things for us. You didn't say, oh man, You accept me and everything's going to be perfect. No, Jesus, You said the exact opposite. In a lot of ways, You said, listen, see what they did to me, they'll do it to you. If they do it to me, they'll do it to you. You're going to deal with trouble. You're going to deal with pain. You're going to deal with issues. Paul wrote about shipwrecks and being beaten and he was bit by a snake. And I mean, just crazy stuff. Thrown in prison over and over and again. Eventually gave his life. We're going to suffer. We're going to deal with hurts and pain. Some of them are self-inflicted and others are other-inflicted, but it's coming. It's going to happen. Some of us may be dealing with it right now. Maybe some of us have really taken a hard hit and we've kind of run away to the corner. And so, Father, this morning, whether we're in it or will be, God, I pray that with Your help, we would embrace that pain. That we would allow that pain and we would take it as an opportunity for joy, for peace, for growth, for unity, for completeness and wholeness and holiness. God, that we would let You reframe it in our hearts and our lives so that we could be like Paul and say, you know what? I'll suffer with You, Jesus, because I know the resurrection is great. I'll go through the test because I want a testimony that's great and will allow You to change our mindset, our hearts, and our minds. Doesn't mean we have to necessarily jump up and down, oh, goody pain. But when it comes, to put it in the right perspective and say, you know what, God, this is going to be easy. It's not going to be fun. But I trust You. And I know that this is going to be an opportunity for growth and maturing and impact in my life and those around me. So Father, even though it's going to hurt, I'll get right back up with You because in Your strength, I am strong. Let that be our plan, Father. Let that be our plan. Because here's the deal, God, we know this. When that's our plan, when we come to you and surrender to you, we will always win our fights because you are greater than any fight we will ever face. So we thank you for that. And God, right now, as we kind of really bring this to a close, God, maybe there are individuals here that I know of, or maybe there's individuals online that I don't, or whatever, that are, God, that are just really dealing with some really deep, deep hurts right now, some deep pain. And maybe, God, they've kind of heard this message and they've kind of even turned me off and just kind of said, you know what, like, Aaron, you don't get it. You don't get it. God, I pray for them specifically in this moment, that, God, that you will reach out and grab them in their pain, that you will help them to understand that there is no pain that you cannot heal. There is nothing that they have done or will done or had done to them that you cannot bring victory through. And maybe they feel hopeless. Maybe they feel abandoned and alone. But those are lies from the pit of hell. You see them, you love them, and you want to heal their hearts. And I pray that as you reach down to them, that maybe for the first time, maybe in decades, they will reach up to you. And that process will begin. And that thing that just seemed too big will instead become the greatest miracle they've ever experienced up to this point in their lives. Help them turn to you. Help them to look to you in this moment. Father, we love you. We're so thankful for all that you are, all that you're doing. Thanks for loving us so much. You're so good. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. Well, listen, have a wonderful, wonderful week. Remember, just a couple of things. Prayer is not this Wednesday, it's the following Wednesday. And the sign-up sheet for the community groups are out in the foyer, so try to make sure to sign up for those if you're interested. We'd love for you to do that. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.